Why am I hearing bad company? Not that it's a bad thing. Oh, there we go. Bad company. Yep, I got some.
Hold on.
Oh, geez. Now I thought of something else I should do, though. What? Daggone it.
East Hills?
No. They're fine, but...
Why am I only hearing chick?
Because I'm the only one on microphone.
Oh, I thought that was going to be some music. Or
Jimbo.
I'm sorry, there's something wrong with me. All I'm hearing is chick's voice. There's something terribly wrong with this.
Help me, dear Help God.
Can you give me something else?
Anything.
Something human.
Bad company. Okay. My son downloaded Jukebox Hero. And that's all I've heard for the last 2 weeks.
You're a juke.
That he's been singing a Foreigner
hero.
Song a lot.
Oops. Is your son from 1974?
It would appear that way.
I'm like,
Journey is his favorite band.
No kidding.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god.
Just,
we the lights. Mm-hmm.
Isn't Jukebox Hero Foreigner?
Is that Foreigner?
Jukebox Hero is Foreigner.
Yeah. Yes. Wait, we'll be another, back with some more Foreigner in just a moment.
What's the other Foreigner song?
Urgent?
No, it's about a girl.
Feels like the first time.
No, it was not that.
Okay, we just rattled off.
I want to know what love is. That's what he's been singing too. He must
How
have
old is he? How old is he?
He's 10?
10.
I want to know what love is. Man, he's in for.
He's born in 1979.
I know.
It's held for 10 years.
2 years before his mother.
Let's see. If he's 10 years singing that song, he's got how many years of, like 70, 80 years of trying to figure out what I want to know what love is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
because I didn't look at that until
that would be like me crooning a Mills Brothers tune right about now. Glow, little glowworm, glimmer, glimmer, swing, glitter, glimmer.
I always liked music from before my generation. The Supremes, Aretha Franklin, that was my big thing.
Across the alley from the Alamo lived a pinto pony and a Navajo. They sing a song to Indian hidey-ho to the people. Passing by. Bum, ba, dum, ba, dum. Come on, Mills.
Well, we don't need music now. So.
You've got to be quiet.
No?
Hi, I'm Chick McGee, and we're off the air. It's our annual Christmas podcast.
Because it happens
Second
once
Christmas
a year.
Christmas time is here.
Yeah, it is.
Happiness and cheer.
Hi, Jess.
It is all up in here.
Fun for all.
Jason.
The children call.
You know who this is. You know, shut up. You know who this. You know who this is, don't you?
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Bob Schneider.
Schneider. It is Bob Schneider.
Checking for.
The air. What were you eating? Pizza? Giacomo's Pizza.
Giacomo's Pizza. Margarita.
Guess who hooked that up?
You?
Me and Casey got to Twitter the other day.
Oh, yeah?
He's a manager at the Irvington location for like ever. And we were talking about it.
You go there all the time.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
I love their hummus platter.
Thanks for downloading the podcast. And our guest today for the special Christmas party, because when I think of Christmas, who do you think of, Jason? Santa Claus?
Yes. That's exactly where I was going.
Frosty the Snowman.
Hermie the Elf. Is it Hermie?
Hermie?
Rudolph?
I don't know. I think of the purses every time you say that.
I want to be a dentist.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's comedian James P. Conley.
Ho, 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 everybody. That music put me in kind of a seductive mood. I just felt like I was laying at a bar going, you know, we could pour some more scotch and we could tell our stories of holiday woe and I could hear about your dysfunctional family and what I shouldn't and shouldn't do to you. But I think the only thing that should happen this holiday season should take place in a very dark, closed room.
There we go. Holy moly.
Wow, I'm turned on. That was good.
That was
that
good.
That was good. That Get was Ron it. Burgundy good.
Get it.
That is the very hot right now. The bombastic, overblown.
Oh, it's my time. It's my time.
This is the golden
I've been waiting
time right
for
now.
Some other blowhard to really just take center stage, and so it's time, people. Over the top, arrogant blowhards are in. There's very few of us that have mastered the craft. I'll put myself in that category.
Oh yeah.
But my guess is you've never used it on a woman. You don't feel
used
comfortable.
What, weaponry? Oh no.
Handguns.
Maybe a mace?
My charisma?
Yes, yes.
That I've never unleashed
I don't know. I just wondered if that's your comedic persona, and then around the ladies you were
See, now,
maybe
because,
not.
Yeah, because Chick kind of does that on the Bob and Tom. Yeah, so every now and then I climb up on the, how did this happen?
Way to broadcast. Talk about yourself in third person. You know what Chick does sometimes.
That's right.
You know, James doesn't take that, Chick. When James wants, James takes.
You know what I mean.
I'm not saying it doesn't work. I'm not saying I wouldn't do it. But
I'm going to say it doesn't work.
It doesn't. No, it depends. How you,
it really
it depends
work.
How you do it, man. It depends how you lay it.
You gotta be. You gotta be real.
You gotta commit.
How do we put this?
That is true.
Jess sitting here. You representing women in general.
Right.
You gotta be. You gotta be in general.
All of them.
You gotta be real with the babies. Am I right? The baby girls. You gotta be sincere. You gotta be.
There's never been a
loving.
First interaction where anyone has been sincere or honest.
You don't think so?
Fuck no. No.
There's that movie, We Bought a Zoo. Have you seen this movie?
I've heard about it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
it's the one with the animals and the
Matt
guy.
Damon
yeah, mm-hmm.
is in it, and I forget who the broad
Will
is.
Hunting, yeah.
Who the broad is in it.
Mm-hmm.
But
Scarlett Johansson.
Could be.
Who's the dame with the gams that walks by the monkey cage? The one that I want to bend over with the estrus pads. What's the chick? The hot one? Come
that
on.
Skirt, that skirt
the skirt,
with the dreamy eyes?
The one with the feces of monkey
with
on
the
it?
The huge hammers?
Come on, where Matt's knocking that... What's her name? What's
anyway,
her daughter?
They go through... It's a very touching scene where he is evidently the first time they met and they're married now and they're looking back over their lives and they bought mm-hmm. a zoo. I don't know. And but he said, remember what the first thing I asked you? And she goes, yes. And he looks at her because it's a movie. He tells her, he goes, why would someone as beautiful as you want to talk to someone like me?
Oh.
And her answer was, why not?
I don't got anything else to do.
Basically, it was it was a man pouring his heart out
right.
to a woman mm-hmm. and a woman going, oh, you won't need that. is that what you found in your adult life, James?
I can't imagine that working. Why would somebody just be... I expect her to go, I'm not talking to you. This is me not talking.
You need to step off, freak.
We had an equally... our first interaction wasn't that great either, Chick and I.
What are you talking about? Well, you were answering the phone for somebody. Is that the one we're talking about, or which one
no,
are we talking
like
about?
No, like when we started hanging out, Chick laid one on me and gave me a kiss.
About?
And I
oh,
said...
Oh, that's right.
And I pushed him away and I said... What did I?
Somebody will see.
Somebody will see us.
Not, like, not no. Get away from me.
Not really the response you're going for. Guy, whoa! I don't want to.
Somebody will see us.
Somebody will see us. Yeah.
Somebody will see us.
I don't know what the.
That's
what
a
the,
great first reaction.
But it wasn't no. Stop that.
Were you? Were you in the hallway? Where were you?
Yeah. Do you remember where the old mailboxes were up in front, where the old reception area used to be?
Not back then, but in that area.
Yeah, over here. Yeah.
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 Right there. By the mailbox, the little... Mm-hmm.
I don't think we should talk about this. Should we talk about
the front
I just thought
desk?
It was a funny... Yeah, yes.
It is a funny thing. Yeah.
I just thought it was a funny reaction.
Okay. It's a great reaction. It's a very honest reaction.
Mm-hmm. But what does that say about me? I just
laid
one on her.
Yeah. you're a...
Who cares
you're,
where?
Yeah. I'm an action guy.
I think she was trying to say you're enjoyed more privately when other people can't see you. I think that's more of a...
I didn't want anybody to
so
see
here,
you.
So here, we were talking about this
that's
before. I actually was on the airline flight. Really
see now, is this James or is this
it's
James?
Just, it's me talking to you.
All right.
I don't know the difference between the two, but so she walks. You know, you walk. You get the middle seat open. And you think, please God, I don't want that person. I don't want that person.
Sure.
I saw this really cute redhead coming down. I'm thinking that's the one I want to sit next
to
me. Kabam! She sits next to me.
Wow.
It actually worked out. So we're chatting it out. We're talking for real.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
And things are going well, and just kind of getting cozy, and she's like right next to you, and it kind of had that like date feel,
mm-hmm.
and it was really, and I actually leaned in and kissed her.
No,
on the aircraft now,
like out of nowhere.
So looking back, I thought,
laid
so
one
cool.
on her.
However, looking back now, I'm thinking. The degree of difficulty on that dive is astronomical because the price tag for failure is incarceration, rape whistle. I mean, horrific. So, although my instincts were correct, I never realized just how absolutely insane it was.
It's not that bad because if a girl doesn't want you to kiss you, you know.
But then when you take into consideration the setting, no escape.
Oh, yeah, that's
no
true,
way
that's
out.
True.
And if you're wrong, it could be hitting the flight attendant button.
Mm-hmm.
So it was
did she ever like touch your leg, you know, while talking? She laughed. I mean, was there an indication? You're like, all right.
No,
I'm
but
good.
Before I said things like, touch my leg. touch my leg. indicate, please. Well,
now, a little farther inside. Yeah.
But some
there
girls...
was there was normal stuff going. Not that you would think this is going to happen, but then you're thinking this can't be happening.
Did you calculate how much left is in the flight? So if this goes bad,
do the police
I've got
have time to
2 more hours?
No,
to
that
sit
was the
here
problem. Was
wallow.
After I did it, I realized, oh my god, I had no way out. Mm. This was a complete all in, all chips.
Instincts didn't care. Went.
Did she know what you did?
Was it awesome?
Did for a living?
It was awesome.
It was awesome.
It was phenomenal because. Yeah. I was right, and we looked at each other like, this is awesome.
This is awesome. Wow,
like,
two awesomes.
We're kissing on this plane, and people
and
think
you just met.
People think we know each other.
Yeah. And then what happened?
Then we spent a wonderful weekend.
Nice.
Really?
In L.A. She was visiting, and she happened to work for a very large manufacturer of running shoes, so not only did I have an amazing weekend with a beautiful young lady, but then she sent me a free pair of running shoes, and
holy
that was
moly.
The last time I saw her. It was the
you
greatest story.
You got this girl's name? This is perfect for me.
Dream? Do you have dreams about this?
This is a dream date. Wow.
So I'm suggesting just meet a woman who works in an industry that you'd like some free stuff, smack her on the plane, and then, yeah.
So where are those shoes now?
Hanging in the Hall of Fame, the Smithsonian Institute for aggressive moves made by...
And was this your wife, or does she know about this story?
My wife is not a subscriber to this podcast. she will not be allowed to know. As far as she knows, I'm taking a nap right now.
Fair enough.
Throwing away all of your running shoes.
Those running shoes don't exist. This was pre-wife.
There's something about making out on a plane, though. I think it's the oxygen. I think it's the bumps. I don't know what it is. It was pretty good.
I'll be blunt. It was hot.
Very, very hot. Well,
are you a mile high guy?
No, I've always had difficulties with the physics of the bathroom.
Oh, okay.
I just think that I would not be at my best. I probably make. I feel like I'd be making awkward faces, body contour. I know what angles I'm good at. I don't get that opportunity in
the
bathroom.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Saying, you have a go-to angle?
Not a go-to angle, but I'm comfortable with the swivel positions that are the best for me.
Do you think it brings out a protractor? I'm going to need to...
I'm just saying,
if
I get in there, I'd be
in.
Like, you need to either be a smaller woman. I can't do this. The things I want to do cannot be done given the nature of ourselves.
And it's a confined space, and we do know that he is a bit brittle, right?
Exactly.
This is among the many fascinating facts of what I'll say the fascinating life of James P. Conley.
I am an interesting human.
He has... Do you still have this? And
you're
willing to talk
about
it?
Technically,
I'm not
really human anymore. I am the same species as the people in this room, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
but I have a very awkwardly deficient bone density. That,
really?
Yeah, that just like... My bones just broke one day.
He was standing. Were you standing?
I was standing.
What is that called?
Vitamin D. Rickets. I think it's called. if this were pirate days, I think it'd be.
You gotta load up.
Arg! I'm broken my foot again.
No, when you said that, it reminded me of what is the blood disorder where you bruise easy and you're
bleeding? Oh, hemophilia.
Hemophilia. It seems like it's kind of like that. Only your
bonophilia.
Bones. Bonophilia. Yeah, that sounds like fun.
It does sound like her name was Bonophilia.
You got a bone.
See that dame again?
Place to put it.
Yeah. So my bone, they just kind of broke, and then I mean, I take vitamin D and I'm okay, but there's always that if I don't take it, the levels go down again, and I have to get my bone density checked with the women in their 80s.
They have a pill,
and then you kissed her,
and then we didn't
ask her, ask him just, how old she was.
You're gonna find out what I did, and I was on this doctor's appointment, and we seemed to have a lot in common. Her hips were breaking, and so were my feet.
So, did you have any idea that you had this bone deficiency until your foot broke?
It was just like. You just chalk it up to like, well, maybe I'm getting older or maybe I fell a certain way. You have all these things that build up. And then I'm sitting there and I was just talking to my wife and in the kitchen and I just stopped talking and I just kind of was like, God, that feels weird. And I looked at my foot and it looked like it was spread out further than my left foot. Like it looked
right.
Like, and I've broken a lot of bones in my life, but through normal means like violence. I was in the Marine Corps, played rugby.
Sure.
I know how I broke them. Mm-hmm. And this, I was just like going, I think it was broken. Of course, my wife says, who breaks their foot standing there?
And it immediately swelled?
I said, we had a normal argument between husband and wife.
Yeah.
Over,
mm-hmm.
She's claiming...
How stupid you are.
Yeah, I have deficiencies, and I'm claiming, obviously, that I'm explaining what I think could be the reason for this, like an idiot. I got reasons. Right. So I said, well, if it's broken, you know, we'll wake up in the morning, and it'll be black and blue if it's broken. That's how...
Right.
So, mm-hmm. Sure enough, we woke up. You know, we just pulled the sheets off. I popped the foot up, just black and blue. And I was like, son of a bitch.
Wow.
So I went in and I'm like, there's something terribly wrong with me.
Wow.
However, great 2-minute bit.
a true comedian.
Like all comedy, it's
Some material out
I go
of
to the
that.
Doctor every year and go, can you just tell me there's something wrong with me because I need to write? Mm.
But you had you had an incredibly active life up until
yeah,
that,
that's
right?
kind of crazy that the you Marine, didn't that, that wouldn't have shown
other
up
than
earlier
a normal,
in life.
Yeah, I don't know why it just kind of you know. And I get outside. I mean, I live in California. I take the dog for a walk.
Vitamin D
I
is like out the there. Sun. It's well, readily available.
But I just don't think that your Earth's yellow sun affects me the way obviously right. from the planet that I'm from.
You're not human.
No. I think your sun drains me.
What kind of dog do you have?
Cockapoo Schnauzer.
Stop making things up. So it's a Cocker Spaniel Poodle Schnauzer.
It was three dogs drinking Jack Daniels.
That sounds like a
damn. Just like in the picture.
Just like in the pictures. Mm-hmm. And then
Slipping the other one in the ace.
She's a rock star. She's got like a 36-inch vertical leap. So she's a happy little dog. But if you, she can jump up and come up to eye level, and it is terrifying. She's not a big dog, but she can. I put up a gate one time, and you know the guys at the pet store, well, how big's your dog? I go, what's the biggest gate you own? Because mm-hmm. my dog will look at it, size it up, mm-hmm. and without even running up to it, she just went over the top. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
wow.
Jesus.
Yikes. What does the son think of the dog?
The son?
The son, the child.
The Parker.
He's
at the age now. We have to teach him not to.
How old is he?
He's three.
Oh, wow.
Attack the dog. Asked me the other day, why can't he sit on dogs? I had to have this conversation, explained to him.
Great question.
And it is a great question. Mm-hmm. You go, well, first of all, you're dead on. Mm-hmm. There are some dogs you want to sit on.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. We had to have the conversation. And now they're starting to build more buddies, chasing around the house. My son the other day was going around pretending to be a dog. Mm-hmm. And my dog immediately like, well, this is awesome.
Yeah.
So she was into it. So he's rolling around, she's rolling around. So they're just starting that boy dog bonding thing.
That thing. Oh,
up until then, it's been like, get away from me, right. Get the dog away from me. It's like,
yeah.
My grandson is two, and I just got a puppy, and she's like 4 months. And he was here 2 months ago, a month and a half ago, and he was carrying her around. And it's a golden retriever, so she doesn't care.
No.
So he just, at one point, just lifted her up as high as he could and threw her on the floor as hard as he could. And he was, you know, two, but and she went, but she was fine. I mean, I don't know what
And then went. You whipped his ass.
No, I didn't whip his ass.
Oh.
He gets a pass. Remember, I told you this.
Oh, right.
He's the grandson. He gets a pass.
Oh, that's a thing, right? Like all the grandkids. My grandma told me that grandkids and grandparents get along because they have a common enemy. Which is the parent.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
This is our annual Christmas show.
Remember that? I have no grandparents, by the way, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Now I have to get along with them.
So, James, whose dog is it? Is it your dog? Is it your wife's dog? Is there some favoritism there?
It started off as her dog but then, you know, it was a puppy when we got it, so it needed to be trained.
Uh-oh.
Who do you think works from home?
Monday through Thursday.
And who do you think is the stubborn Marine who will not be defeated by a dog?
How'd that work out?
Me. I won.
You won.
I won everything except barking, knock at the door, couldn't figure
That's
out anyway.
Not bad,
it's
though.
Not a bad thing, but it's like, you know, you wish you could train her and just go doesn't work.
Yeah.
And then jumping up for joy when they see people we just can't contain her. She's gotten better, but it was me locked in there and you know and the beautiful thing is my office was right next to the kitchen, so I'd contain her in the kitchen of the office but I thought I would be more casual about it, but I was like, no, I'm all in. Every time you chew, it's like, no, here, chew on this, yes.
Yeah. It escalates real quick.
It does.
Training them,
But then when it works, you're like, look at me.
Like I said, she's 4 months old. I still get excited when she poops in the backyard. Like, oh, that's one more. She's not gonna poop in the house. She's doing it outside. I win. That's right.
It is alarming to me as a parent and a dog owner how much enthusiasm and interest and knowledge I have on the fecal production of my son and dog. How much time I spent dissecting it, analyzing it, looking it up on YouTube, checking WebMD, searching for worms in it. I'll let you decide which one, my son or my dog.
All right.
Picking it up. I thought I've spent more time. The skill that I have now would be elder care. I think I've done enough wiping and picking up of feces that I think I'm qualified to take care of an older person.
Yeah, you'd test out. In the field.
I'm just not worried. Like, I wouldn't be squeamish. I'd be like, good poop. It's yellow, but soft and firm. Mm-hmm. I think you're good.
So how did you get from kid?
It's the holiday show, remember.
Yes. Kid to high school to Harvard to the Marines to comedy. And you like don't order the shirts online. You actually went to Harvard and graduated and the whole thing.
That's right. Yeah, I don't have. I didn't, I've got the Harvard online. That'd be awesome.
They do. Yeah. You can order. I see guys.
I know.
We're walking by in a Harvard hat, and it's like there's no fucking way.
I know.
How I judge people.
Well, you know what? I was just high school, and I wanted to go to a good school, and I saw some kid get a ROTC scholarship to college, and I didn't know what that was. I was looking at going to like a military academy. My father's in the Marine Corps, and his brothers were in the Marines. And
ROTC. Did you call it ROTC?
No.
Okay.
Not the people that are in the ROTC. Don't call it the ROTC. The people that annoy us. Are you in the ROTC? That's what you say. Okay. Because it sounds like Yahtzee. It's
the,
not
the hippies,
gang.
The free thinkers,
the freaks,
say
the bohemians,
ROTC.
The pot smokers, the liberals.
That's right.
The people with loose sexual morals.
Kissing strange women on planes.
Right,
hey, ROTC.
That's a man move right there.
Right.
I said, honey, someday I'm going to die for your country. See, that shit works, man. Oh, that works.
That's good.
See, when I commit, that's... what were we talking about? Oh, yeah.
Oh, Harvard.
Yeah. No, so I figured I'd this guy got the scholarship, and I asked what it was, and so it was, you know, ROTC. So, ROTC.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, you know, they were going to pay for school, and we didn't have the money, obviously, for, I didn't come from the cash family. So this
not the rich Conley.
No, not the rich Conley. So we came from the potato farmer Conley. So we, I did the scholarship, and then I got that first, so I knew I had the money. Then I applied to Harvard because I didn't know I wasn't going to apply without a way to pay for it.
So are you like crazy smart? I mean, you seem like a great guy, but... Do you have like great SATs or IQs?
I'm so smart that it is very difficult for me to suppress what I'd like to
Why
say.
Why are
to
you shaking your head? Are these
because
bad questions?
You're the worst question. I mean, I just
I'm
can't.
Curious.
No, but you're like.
Aren't you curious about somebody who went to Harvard?
He didn't say you seem like a nice guy, but you don't seem smart. But it was implied.
That's not true at all.
Yeah, that's why at some point I will unleash the full potential of my brain unchecked. You seem like a guy that wouldn't annoy me, but in there is an annoying man.
No.
No. I'm not, you know, I think I'm...
You're okay?
I'm not stupid. I think I got some game, but I'm not an intellectual at all.
I mean, were you swinging for the fences with Harvard? Like, oh, I got in. Or you're like, no, that's where I should go.
Well, that's a good question.
Oh, fine.
That's how
Jason
asked
the good
so
question.
So he asked the questions. It wasn't swinging for the fences, but okay. Let's put it this way. I got in, obviously, but I didn't. It wasn't like I'm like, oh, that's where I'm going. I deserve to. I was shocked and surprised.
And pleased.
And very pleased that I got in because it was not in the plan.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The plan was kind of like, go to local college and have a good time. And then when I got the scholarship and I knew I had the money and they said, what the heck, let's go for the thing and see if I can do it. But because I wasn't like, you know, I wasn't valedictorian in my class. It was people that should have gone maybe, but they wanted me.
So,
and why not?
You know, were you a bit of an outcast? You know, because you have, I'm just guessing, all these brainiacs are going around, you know, focus. And you have a great personality and...
You're probably, not nerd or geek-like at all.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like, what I think of when I think of
Are you saying I'm ugly? You have a great personality or outgoing?
No. Compared to what us common people think of Harvard guys. You know what I'm saying?
I hung out with a bunch of guys who were gregarious. And we had fun. We did the work. We partied. And we had a good time.
Okay,
we all got
good.
C's and B's. Mm-hmm. I, for the record, I did graduate. I wouldn't show you my record there because I wasn't knocking it out of the park academically. But I didn't plan to. When I got there, I did what I did and I enjoyed it. And I knew I was going to the Marine Corps for 4 years and I wasn't doing a thesis on anything because nothing really interested me. And I had shit to do, man. I was Marine Corps ROTC. Running and drinking. Stop saying
that. Has anybody in your family gone to Harvard? Are you a legacy?
No, that'll never happen again.
What about Parker?
I don't really see my... you might say strong, Chick. He's a bear of a child. I mean, he is smart and he's scary, but I'll suppress him just enough so he doesn't have that much confidence in himself. I mean, I want my children to do well, but I certainly don't want them to do
well. What was your degree in?
American Government International Relations.
Okay. Oh, so you're making shit up now is what you're doing with us.
Yes, I did. I do tolerate civilians. And I do tolerate those who are moderately educated. It's very difficult. Everything I took I enjoyed, but again, I'm not an academic, I'm not an intellectual person, so I just don't. It fascinates me, and like we could all talk about it, but I'm not going to go home and go, you know, I should really do some further research and do a dissertation. I just don't care. I'd rather make the joke about it that seems smart.
Were you in a frat? A fraternity?
They didn't do frats at Harvard. They had a thing called like finals clubs. And
oh, so you didn't make me feel silly at all for asking that question.
No, that was actually good clubs. The next question, I will go back to mocking you openly on your own podcast.
Okay, fine.
That would be the bombastic
is
thing
that
to do.
The, what is it, the skulls?
It's not
and...
skull and bones. Okay, it's not like a, secret, not that, weird. Okay. But it's there, it's just got a lot of rules, and you got to wear sport coats to events. And, you know, I kind of just decided at some point I just didn't want to pay money to hang out with the people that I could hang out with. And then my other friends couldn't go.
Right.
So I was
right.
like, so my roommates, and so I was like, I did it for one semester, and I was like, I really don't. I mean, there are a lot of nice guys in it, but it just a little too, you know.
Did you seek it out, or do they actually come to you and go, hey, would you like to? Is it sort of a silent?
They come to me.
Okay.
You get the note under the door. They go, we want your guy. I know you do, but I'm not coming to you. Come back next year.
Who doesn't?
They seek you out. So
that's the thing. So is that where you played rugby? Is that where you're talking
about? Yeah, I played rugby in college, and I played 1 year in the Marine Corps, which is a very different sport. And I'm not big. I'm just stubborn. And I have skinny legs, which is not the rugby build.
And brittle, evidently.
I have thin bones, skinny legs, and love handles. Not the build. Not the guy that's going to mow people down playing rugby. But I'm very stubborn, and I don't like to be told I can't do something. And then I do stupid things.
I love rugby. I dated a rugby player in college.
It's a great game. Once
it
you
is.
Get
it was
in
fun
it,
to watch.
Once you get
really.
In it, and you're playing with a bunch of guys that have that same wild look on their eye, you're like, this is awesome. Nobody wants to hurt each other, but we're willing to.
Yeah.
It's a really cool game.
And then they all get drunk. Both teams get drunk after the game.
We drink after the game and go, remember the time you broke my hand? Ah, I do! Clink!
Clink. Are you a big drinker now still?
I've tapered off.
Tape, but you still.
Oh, yeah. I control my enthusiasm. I control my social habits for the betterment of my family. Yeah.
Scotch? Are you a scotch guy?
I like scotch and blended whiskey. It goes with the, you know.
Yeah, the whole.
You don't want to see me sipping like Zinfandel at the bar. You want to see me going, pull up a chair, chick. Let me pour you something straight. And if I drop an ice cube in your glass, it's because I don't think that much of you.
So this lady on the plane wasn't your wife. So how did you meet your wife?
Good segue.
Thank you.
Yeah, we didn't have to bring up the lady on the plane.
That's fine.
You know what I owe to chick? Much like the karaoke singer who can't hit the note. When you ask me a question, you back off the mic.
That's right. Hey!
He leans in and he goes, I got a question for you, and I'm gone. I wish you could see this. He just rolls away like, hey, so anyway, and the game is over.
Deal with that.
Chick asks a question, drop it inside. I'm sorry. What was the question?
I don't know.
How'd you meet your wife?
We met online, actually. I was traveling. Wasn't, you know, hard
say
to meet
what?
People.
To who? To what? Online?
So
what?
I decided to throw it in the mix, and yeah, it was kind of a cool thing. It was just, it worked. She was the only person I ever met who, when she described herself in an online profile, it was interesting and not repetitive. I mean, every woman, there's just cliches. They're disgusting. Not every woman can have a moonlit walk on the beach. If it were true, every night the beach would be the most fucking crowded place in the world with lonely women going, here I am, like I said, every night, moonlit walk. And, you know, so she was really honest in a way that was like, wow, this is actually an interesting person. And then her picture, she looked pretty, and she was prettier in person, which, again, is usually the reverse. Usually it's like... Yeah. Someone goes, here I am at my best, and you weren't there for that moment, so they'll never see this moment again. And so then you get there, and you're like, yeah, I went on online dates where the woman picture was literally looked like 10 or 15 years ago,
like a headshot.
Well, but it was almost, but this was such a, I mean, I'm talking a decade, and I was like, this is a great picture, but. What am I supposed to think of you when I show up and I go, well, the opening lie's a good way to start. Yeah, it's opening. The half-truth and the lie. So, yeah, that's...
How long did you do the dating online before you met your wife?
Not too long. I mean, I just kind of added it to trying to meet people.
Sure.
And so it was, I loved it because it was like, you meet somebody, meet them for a cup of coffee, you chat it up. If you decide you like them, great. If you go out, if not, you send them an email, nice to meet you, good luck on your journey, blah, blah. No one ever got angry. It was the easiest way... To just, and I had some of the most amazing discussions over with people that I would never go out with.
Right.
But this one girl was so crazy, and I should have left. But I thought, I'm staying as long as she will stay.
Now, were you thinking this is material and stuff?
No, I was just thinking this was a fascinating moment.
Okay.
Because she just wasn't getting it. And the less I talked, the more she talked.
Right.
And literally, if I just shut up, it was like the ramblings of the, she was spinning out of control. It was fascinating to me.
Oh.
I love that stuff.
We had breakfast with a guy like that. Remember that one time? And he talked way too much. And at the end of the breakfast, he realized he talked.
That's my favorite, though, when
and
they
he,
know.
He just got really quiet. And he goes,
Okay, I'll see you
guys
later.
Well, I'll see you guys later.
We sat there for 2 hours.
He almost went into a full-blown nervous breakdown. And
it
at
was
the end,
terrible.
He goes,
but those are my favorite people who know, and then they have that
after
moment.
After
that,
they go, yeah.
I have comic friends like that, and they're great. And they go, just sometimes I know I can be a little much, so if I am, just let me know. And I like, well, see, now that I love you, now you can say whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Because I will say, shut up, too much, and we're good.
Yeah.
Honesty, realism, right?
Yeah, vulnerability, things that don't work for me.
So the online dating, was this in L.A.?
Yep.
That had to be a little intimidating. I mean, just, you know, because L.A. has, you know, all the
was
the
everybody,
wannabes and
everybody an actress? There. Everybody?
Yeah.
No, I mean, there are a lot of those people out there, you know, it's, and it, you know, and I want everyone, I wish them the best on their artistic journey.
That's
as I
right.
contain my, I do, I want, I don't, not everyone should have their spirits crushed in the way that most people do. But yeah, you meet some people and you just want to look at them and just take them aside and go, you should go home now.
What was that? Who's
the journey's
that?
Over.
What was that?
The journey ended with me. You'd be thankful I caught you and I found mm-hmm. you.
Who's that? There was a comedian who has a joke about that. The girl says, I'm a waitress. And he goes, you're mispronouncing that.
Dana Tosh.
No. He goes, I'm an actress. And he goes, no, you're mispronouncing that. You're a waitress.
No, it isn't Dana Tosh.
Nathan Trenholm.
Nathan Trenholm. That's, yeah. You know Nathan mm-hmm. Trenholm?
Yep.
He's very,
very, very, very,
very funny guy. And I just butchered his joke. But maybe we get him on the podcast sometime.
I think that joke's been done a couple of times. No offense to Nathan, but I think I've heard that.
Really?
Yeah. He did it about 8 years ago.
It was eight. That really was
it's
him.
It's been a while.
Yeah,
it was
a long time.
I think maybe 8 years and one day ago, I did that joke. And, I'm going to go ahead and predate Nathan on that one. But the way I said it was differently.
Much, much.
Actress.
Actress.
Yeah, I like it.
But yeah, there's a lot of shit to cut through mm-hmm. in LA.
I bet.
So that's why my wife, who's a wonderful Midwest woman, was really
nice.
That's
cool. What was she doing out there?
Lost.
She was lost.
No, she was out there. She was working out there. She left Wisconsin and she was out there working in the fashion industry. And she quit because she has a soul.
Right.
And she's a nice human being. So yeah. So that was awesome. I had to go to LA to meet a woman from Wisconsin.
Did you ever do the speed dating?
No, but I wish I did because, God, I think I would have enjoyed that just for the sheer drama of watching people panic under pressure.
Right.
Is that wrong?
Right.
Have you ever done...
And you would have been so successful at it.
I think that... Well, I don't know if I would have succeeded, but I know that short, fast, under pressure is my zone.
Right. Yes. Improvisation.
Yeah. I'm in the zone. I'm not afraid of anything like that.
Right.
And watching people have to try to do that who can't do it, it's like watching a comedian do horrible crowd work. I love it.
Right.
It's just awesome to me. Yeah. So I would do it as an experiment just to sit there.
Yeah. I see. That's why I want to do it. I just want to see if I could just as a challenge. Yeah.
And just throw some people off.
Just horrible crowd. Have you ever seen Jeff Garland, by the way? Speaking of horrible crowd work.
I'm kidding.
No, I don't know. No, I'm not kidding at all. I'm totally serious is what I am right now.
Never seen him. Unfamiliar with his work.
So how do you want to tell us how long you've been in comedy? You look like I'm going to guess your age, 35, 36, 37, somewhere in there.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Now you should back away from the microphone. I'm close.
Yeah.
No, I'm very proud. I'll tell you exactly how old I am. I have sustained a long time. My bones are falling apart, but I am intact.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very proudly 47 years old.
No way.
Yep.
That's incredible.
Yes, it is. Because I'm actually 37 years old. No, I'm 47. I'll admit it. I'm not.
Because I've always, I can't remember the first time you were on the
I do.
Bob
it was
Tom
a cold
show.
Day in 2008. I didn't like you then. I don't like you now.
I like you even less.
I came in that day going, you guys are okay, but this other guy, the shoe-in guy?
We don't know about him.
Yeah.
We do not know about
him. Now, he knocked
him.
It out his first time. I remember.
Thank you. I was intimidated by the show. People told me to come. I was looking forward to it. And they gave me the speech in there and blah, blah, blah. And I came in here and I walk in and I had this like
drool
goatee.
Oh, goatee. Oh.
And it was just a little soul patch.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know anybody in this room. And I sit down and everybody opened up on me about the beard. And I was just like, let's do this, people. And I was just like, so I just started firing back. And I was just and it was a moment of, I thoroughly enjoyed you guys because as I've learned doing comedy, it's like, you get along with people that are good at what they do. When you shove back as hard as they shove, and I'm the same way. If I'm on you, it's because I respect you enough to come at you playfully. And when you fire back, then I'm overjoyed.
Well,
so.
you'd be surprised at how there are many many people in comedy who have a genuine sense of humor. But I don't have to tell you this. You'd be surprised at how many of the comedians have no sense of humor.
Oh, I know that.
Whatsoever.
I know that. Yeah. So, but thank you for that. I thoroughly enjoyed it the first time. But it was
I remember it.
Mm-hmm. I remember because I was just like, wow, this is okay. Wow, this is how the show's going to go. It's not like, welcome, not sit down. It's like, what's up with that thing on your chin? Mm-hmm. Then Bob's like, looks like a guitar pick. And then Chick was on me. And I was like, holy crap, people.
But they fed to your strength.
Well,
though,
which is
reacting back.
The false bravado. The, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
I don't think it's false.
Not false.
Well, maybe it isn't.
It is everything I can do to suppress my arrogance to hang out among you people.
You think it's, I haven't heard, he doesn't laugh like this very often. I'm not sorry, but this is Jimmy Pardo laugh. Like this is how he's laughing.
I will tell you right now, when I left the studio, someone told me, and this is the way it rolls in the world of comedy. Mm-hmm. Someone said, if Chick is laughing that much at you, then you're funny.
See?
So I took that as a compliment. And then I sat here one time. Yeah. I sat here between Pardo and Gaffigan one time.
Oh, God.
Holy shitballs.
It was one of the most intimidating times on the show because huge fan of Gaffigan. Never met him. Pardo is a friend, but I know Pardo is like...
in family.
High, yeah, he's high on the food chain. So I sit down, part enthusiastic, part like... what the hell? Who's going to talk to me? No one can talk to me. And I was so enamored with Gaffigan and Pardo's going off. And I was, after the first break, I literally said to myself, you need to start talking or they're just going to ask you to go away. You're not really adding anything to the show. So very intimidating. So.
Oh, yeah. You always love the comedian that's there's when there's three comedians in here and there's the one comedian who, not in your case, but where they're not as
they're just getting overrun.
They are, yeah. but the thing is that they're like, oh, so I just get to watch, you know, and they just sit back and they're like, okay, you know,
it happens.
Yeah,
I still my favorite moment ever doing the show was Schimmel was here. Never met Schimmel, very intimidating because he's Schimmel, and he was talking about his book that he wrote about cancer, and I was just sitting there and hadn't said anything and didn't want to interrupt him, and he was talking about translated and to different languages and even in Chinese, and some stupid joke came to my head and I just blurted it out and it was dead silence in this room for only a split second.
Yeah.
And then all of you laughed simultaneously.
Well, that's
and
good.
I thought to myself,
second.
I said, I didn't even know the guy. And then Schimmel just, I didn't even know, looks at me and he goes, that was funny. Yeah. And I was just like, thank you, sir. Thank you, Rob. I will not interrupt your cancer stories again.
Thank you, Mr. Schimmel.
I was like, thank you very much. So, yeah. That was a good show.
That was good.
That was awesome. And Axford, he said, "Hey, you want to go see a James Bond movie with me?" And I'm like, "I'd love to go hang out and watch James
Bond
movie." Really?
We saw Quantum Solace.
No kidding.
Huh? Yeah.
I was like, "Hey," and he's chatting me up, and he showed me this recording application on the iPhone to use for recording sets, and I was like, "What a nice guy!"
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I didn't know him that well, but I hung out with him here, and it was really cool. And we weren't even working different clubs. Just
wow.
Well, now, normally the club owners don't let the comedians hang out if they're working.
Again, I really
clubs.
Don't. I don't care. I don't play these club owners. They just, you know, they got their club and they got their world, and no one tells me who they hang out with.
Yeah, I walked into the break room today, and the two club owners were in there, and I'm like, oh, this is either going to be a fist fight or
was it the girl club owner?
It was the girl club owner and the boy club owner.
I think she could take the boy club.
Well, maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe she would just win by default because you wouldn't want to mess with her.
That'd be my
yeah.
This is where my joke stops.
I'll just walk out.
That'd be my.
I'm just gonna stop.
We're just gonna stop right now.
No, I think we should keep going. You guys are really uncomfortable. You're getting all cocky. I'm the only one that can just leave.
You can just leave.
I can just leave.
Where do you live? L.A.? Is that where you
back?
Live, L.A.?
Tell me
about L.A.
I live in the big city, Chick, where dreams come true. It's a magical city.
Is there any better bit than Pardo's that when he goes, you know what I got?
Yes, actually, I've written a few.
Hang
Go
on.
Ahead.
You know what I got? I got a guy who comes and delivers me my mail every day. That's what over at the Pardo compound. That's what I got.
Oh my God!
The Pardo compound.
I'm sorry.
That was a Tomism right there. That's what that was.
That's funny.
Yeah. Is there any better bit?
I saw Jimmy Pardo first. I saw him hosting a showcase at the Improv one time when I was on, and I'm watching everybody, and I never seen him before, and I was beside myself with joy, and I was like, the host is funnier than everybody. Like I don't know why these showcasers, they're like in between and the whole first time I ever saw it, is this your card? I mean, all this stuff. Oh my God! I was just
oh my
like,
God. Who is this? Is either the worst or the best magician I've ever seen?
He's so lovably neurotic, and so weird. Audition. We used to show up at a lot of auditions together because we were both up for a lot of hosting things together, and so we were both up for I think it was some funny money shows between him and me. And of course, he got
where you get big bucks for big laughs.
Yeah. So Jimmy got the gig. Nice, Jimmy. We're in this audition. He pulls me outside. He goes, "Hey, what do you think? Tuck, untuck." I'm like, "What do you think?" And he would do it for me. I'm like, "All right. It's your call, brother. I don't know what it makes you feel good." I was like, "Really? I got an audition too." He's like, "But tuck, what do you think? Does it look awkward?" Awesome.
Tuck or untuck? Jimmy Pardo.
Now, do you LA guys, do you guys kind of live in a, you know, we always hear about the New
York guys.
I hear
about poker. Do you guys play poker?
We all live on the same street.
Well, the New York guys kind of have their own little hood.
What is that? Queens or Astoria? Astoria.
A lot of them live in Astoria.
Like in LA, there's just these pockets where, and usually you just discover, like, "Hey, I didn't know that she lived on that street too." So there's like, and then we all move a lot too because it's LA. So usually, like, you find out that maybe there's 10 people that kind of live in a sphere, and then they all move around, and so not that many.
Are you from the West Coast?
Oh, are you really?
Yeah.
Where?
I'm from. Actually, I'm from down in California originally.
See, down in.
I don't believe you when you tell me the truth.
There's nothing I could do. The chick just, I don't know what to do with chick. I can't tell him anything. I'm like.
That's right. I'm from Downey, California.
That's right. And I'm a doctor.
That's right. I'm from exactly. Venus, Mars. That's where I'm from.
That's not true. When I landed on the moon the third time, I'm from Southern California. So and then I lived in Northern California. Then I lived in Boston area. Then I was in the Marines for a while.
I would have gone Boston first.
Yeah, a lot of people think I'm an East Coast kid.
Yeah, you have that
look.
Jeremy Renner.
I got
the town kind of.
The town kind of.
Yeah, like you could just.
But people ask me if I'm from the South, too, because sometimes I pick up a little Elvis drawl.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I was drinking the other day. Red, shoot something.
You're going to do impressions?
No, I don't do impressions. What if a guy who sounded exactly like me said these words? It would go something like this. How you guys doing? Nailed it! James P. Connelly, when he does himself, he's dead on. It's a zone I can find.
So even early on, you never did any impressions?
No, I have been paid to do Elvis early on.
What do you mean?
Did you dress up?
Hold
People
it.
Gave me money.
Hold it.
And they gave me,
You did the whole thing?
I did the thing.
Did you sing?
I sang. Did stuff.
As with the sideburns and the jumpsuit and the...
No, this time I went for a fishnet tank top, Speedos, and flip-flops, but it was very king. Yeah, I did the whole thing.
Oh, my goodness.
I will freely admit, I did it at it's like a touchscreen kiosk that was at the Cannes Film Festival one time, and I got paid to do it at a party. There's an independent film called 9 Minutes, in which I play... The opening scene is me as an Elvis impersonator. It's a movie in which everyone has their 15 minutes. Has to take their 15 minutes of
fame.
I've
heard of this,
But it's cut down to 9 minutes for commercials and advertising. So most people, when confronted with their mandatory fame, don't know what to do, so they just do Elvis. So I'm the opening scene in which I do Elvis, and I get the thumbs down, and I get thrown over the edge, and I'm begging for my life, telling them that I have a big finish. And then it just doesn't happen. But I was hired on that movie as an Elvis wrangler. I actually taught other actors how to do moves.
You were a technical
advisor. How to splay the Elvis hands. Yeah.
On an Elvis.
Because they loved the way I did it. And I said, you know, I can help. I said, you're doing it wrong, man. You gotta bear the hips in there. You gotta grind it in there. So.
I would have never.
I know. I just did a podcast for someone, and it's the Jackie Cation's The Dork Forest, and you have to talk about a topic that you're nerdy on. I said, I'll go 60 minutes on Elvis. What do you want to know?
No kidding. No, he's
did
your...
movies. I took... It was a childhood thing, but I have this book called The Elvis Encyclopedia. I just boned up on a few things. I said, let's bring me some callers. I can do this.
Really? Yeah. Huh.
Have you ever been to Memphis?
I've been to Graceland 3 times.
Okay.
I was kicked out of Elvis' childhood home in Tupelo, Mississippi for entering the wrong door. I say his home. It's a two-room shotgun shack.
Right.
But I came in the back door, and this woman, she's like, "Yo, you cannot be here." And I was just like, there's nowhere else to go. And so I backed out, and I was like, that's one of my great moments of being kicked out. I was thrown out of Elvis' childhood home.
I would have never thought in my life.
One of my greatest moments in this life of mine, I was an extra on the set of Naked Gun 33 and a third. And Priscilla Presley was there.
What'd you do?
I coveted her when she walked by.
Certainly.
And
yes.
I just was...
She looked good then.
She was... Yeah. She was... Oh, yeah. She was Scylla. Then. She was Scylla hot. She was... I was like...
Nice beaver.
Raquel Welch was there. Yeah. But I was just like... OJ was there pre-killing. And Anna Nicole
That's
Smith
my favorite,
was there.
OJ.
And, yeah. The pre-killing OJ, he was just the juice.
All pro juice. Mm-hmm, 2,000-yard juice. Yeah, that was my favorite.
He was talking about Joe Montana's hamstring injury, like between takes. We'd all just sit there and go, shh, OJ's talking to us. It's awesome. And then he went and killed people. And
Yeah. What a bummer.
Yeah, allegedly.
He busted the vent.
Well, isn't that what you're supposed to say? I mean.
Nope. I think you're supposed to say he killed people.
Nope. He's a murderer.
Yep.
Okay.
But he's in jail now, so that's all that matters. He's in jail now.
Yeah, we got him for something, right?
Yeah.
I mean, not we. I didn't do anything. But
Chick was part of the takedown team.
Mm-hmm. I was in that hotel room.
I was in the hotel.
It's part of the
sting. I was selling back my OJ gloves.
And I'm from Downey, California.
That's right. I am Downey, California. You look it up, man. If there's a place to look,
look
it up.
It look up. It up.
There's got to be a James P. Connelly background check.
Number one industry in Downey, California.
Go. Used to be back in the late 60s. It was aerospace. It was Rockwell. Mm-hmm. The Apollo crafts were actually there. Next question.
Are you trying to stump
me? Are you
him?
Trying to stump me in my
no,
own life?
No, I'm just asking.
This is the worst game show ever. We're
going to
ask you questions. We're
only
ask
you know the answers to.
We're going
to
ask you questions about your life. Go. Yes, correct. That is me. Again, right. Yes, those are my parents.
Did you have a fascination with space as a kid?
No, not
he
really.
He has a fascination.
If Elvis went to space, he would.
Exactly.
Space.
There's the movie that wasn't made. He lands, and there's no life, but all of a sudden the music plays, and 16 Martian chicks are like, we're going to take this planet to a whole new level.
Sing us a song, Elvis.
Sing us a song. Moon dust bake.
God, we used to watch Blue Hawaii all the time.
How can you not watch these movies?
On those big, what were those discs? Beta
the,
discs?
The laser discs.
Yeah.
Come on. Girls. Mm-hmm. Paradise Hawaiian style. Clam bake.
Let me think. I'm thinking Frankie and Johnny.
Slice and Sand. Frankie and Johnny, 1968, one of the worst movies ever made.
Yeah, but it was who was
it? Was Elvis.
No, who was Frankie? Frankie was
Nancy. She was Speedway, sorry. All I know is Bill Bixby was in a lot of movies with
Bill Bixby. Joby Baker
yep.
was in a lot of those movies.
Yeah. Come on, Flaming Star.
I know none of these.
Well, the only movie, I guess, among movie people is Love Me Tender, where he's a cowboy.
Yeah, but, you know, and in the end, but,
and
you
he
know,
gets killed.
He dies, and, yeah, so.
Love me. You do that?
Oh, yeah. No.
Did you know the last Elvis concert was at Marcus
Indianapolis.
Square Arena?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Indianapolis.
I knew that.
My mother was there. We have pictures.
Your mom was at that concert.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
76 or 7?
It's got to be 77.
77. He was coming. We moved up to San Francisco Bay Area, and my mom, he was coming to play at the Cow Palace, and I really wanted to go see Elvis. And my mom's like, you know, money's really tight, but I promise you, the next time Elvis comes through, we'll go see him.
Because you were, what, 11 or 12?
And Elvis died shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
And I still, to this day, hold my mother accountable for that.
There's not a time you two don't get together.
No, particularly during the holidays. I mourn the passing of the time I never saw.
Huh.
But when I was a kid, I used to get her Christmas gifts. I used to buy her Elvis albums for her entertainment.
Right.
This is amazing to me. I just don't. I mean, because I've never.
It's because it's a podcast. We can't talk about this.
What are you going to say?
No, I've never really, other than his early songs, like the rockabilly type stuff, I really like Little Sister and that kind of stuff.
The groovy movie Elvis is my favorite because these are the lyrics that shouldn't exist. I mean, there's a song in Girls, Girl, Girl called Slice and Sand. It's about people sitting there kicking with their fingers. You don't write those songs. There's no reason to sing Clam Bake, but he does. And in that scene, everybody is, look for the brightest lights in town. That's where you'll find me hanging around. That's Clam
Bake. What's the one with Ann Margaret? Speedway?
Viva Las Vegas.
Viva Las Vegas? Okay, because he's a race car driver. And
in about 7 movies,
and
he's a race car driver.
Her rival,
he liked the jackets.
Her rival is a baby blue racing car or something like
that's
that.
That's correct.
That's the song. She sings that song.
Las Vegas.
Viva Las Vegas. That's a great song. Do you like the remixes that they've done with Elvis?
I got a couple of them. Yeah. I got Rubberneckin' was one of the great songs from the Change of Habit 1969 with Mary Tyler Moore. And it was one of the few songs. It was a non-musical movie that Elvis did. So he had one song, and he sat there, and he's playing the guitar, and he had long sideburns, and it was 69 Elvis. That was right before the big comeback special.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
The all black?
Yeah! Hot, sweaty, black leather. Black
and that was the... Now, was that the first time they had done the...
In the round?
The audience? Yeah, all the way around that like that?
That was like
so. That's where Dane Cook got that.
Dane Cook is stealing from Elvis.
Yeah, Elvis invented circles. Yeah,
that's right.
Elvis invented the audience, circles, and performing.
My favorite part of that special is when he makes that thing, does the look of his face with his lip, does it. Hey, I made 8 movies doing this, you know, or something like that. Remember he says that.
Was he funny?
He's funny in the special, sort of.
Well, he's
making
funny
of himself.
Yeah, I think he was funny when his hangers-on had to laugh, so he was Elvis funny.
Oh, right. You know, have you seen the documentary where it's actually Elvis, and it's an Elvis.
That is the way they do the
documentary. The name. No, but a lot of them are made up, like there's fake Elvises, right. And they tell his story. But this one actually has Elvis in it.
Yep.
Wait, he's the real Elvis?
Yes.
He's so in it's a, not any he's fake Elvises telling his
the
story.
The thing I remember, he's in a limousine so with the guys, like Sonny and Red and all this, mm-hmm. And he's in the limousine. He's, hey, Maya, did you see that moon landing last night? Or
he
something
really
like that.
He didn't really talk like that.
Yeah, he did.
Yes, he did.
That was serious.
And no, Sonny or Red says, hey, Elvis, did you see that moon landing last night? And Elvis goes, oh, no. Oh, man, I was buried in a beaver. Or something like that.
No.
And then someone says, like, you know, the cameras are still on. And Elvis starts going, oh, no. He starts singing.
No way.
It's the greatest scene ever because literally someone says, hey, E, the cameras are rolling. And hey, he's like, Blue Hawaii. Yep. And he just sings off and it tails off. And you're like, awkward.
Yeah. Well, who has the great story? Tim Wilson has a really funny story about Elvis. Do you remember that? It's not him, but he tells the story about when they introduce him to the songwriter. Hey, this is the guy who's wrote your last five hits. Mm. And he kind of opens the door, but he has women in there, and he sticks it, nice to meet you, and slams the door shut.
Oh, that's right. Nice to meet you. Yeah. I remember Tim saying that.
Yeah.
Nice
Tim
to meet
tells
you.
That story. You have to give her work with him.
You got to love him. Your girl's going to get together and take off your clothes and then wrestle. Pretty much.
That is the great American tragedy. Elvis Presley, I think.
Yeah, it was, man. His first rock and
roll. You talk like he's dead.
I've been Where are you on this?
let's get to the real time. I do believe that Elvis is dead. Mm-hmm. I believe he's been buried.
Even though his middle name is misspelled on the...
Yes. Well, you know, the conspiracy theories are... Mm-hmm. But I've been to the graveside. I've seen the people that weep there. And it's pretty impressive, the level of actual, like, people,
really?
They take very serious. Mm-hmm. There was one where, you know, she was just bawling, and mm-hmm. I'm just, you know, I'm sad he's gone, but I didn't know the guy.
Right.
You know, but they're just, like, in tears, and it's just, like, it's scary. It is scary.
How did you get exposed to it at first? Was it your mom's love for it, and you just started watching the movies, and it just hit you in the right way, or?
I think, I don't know if we had an album. You know what probably was? It was, when I grew up in L.A., we had something called the 3:30 movie. And the 3:30 movie was every day at 3:30, obviously. But it was theme week. They had Planet of the Apes week. Why I'm a huge plan. Because you knew that every day you come home from school at 3:30, so there'd be Elvis week. And I'm like, this guy gets his whole week. So every day you'd come and see. So I would see five in a week. And I was like, this guy is awesome. And of course, my mother was appropriate age, so she would tell me about him. And we had it. Mm-hmm. So that's how it started. Planet of the Apes and Elvis. Thank you, 3:30 movie.
Favorite Planet of the Apes movie?
I like the first one. With Charlton Heston, because if you're going to save the Earth, you know, you got to be Chuck. You can't. I want a guy that, I mean.
Damn dirty ape.
I saw the original done back on the big screen, and there's scenes in there where the one woman that didn't survive the crash.
Oh,
and he's like, too bad, because you were the only girl in town. I love that. It just, you know, it's like you can't, like when Mark Wahlberg did the remake, I'm like, I like Mark, but if you're going to save humanity, I need a guy that's going to get in there and say some grizzled
things.
There's
only two, right?
Oh, no, there's six or seven.
Are you being serious?
Yes. Oh, yeah. And then the fifth one ends where the first one begins.
There's Planet of the Apes, there's Beneath, there's Under.
Revenge, Return.
I don't know any of those. I just know the original.
My favorite's one of the, it wasn't very well critically. But it's
the James Francisco one?
No, it's Kim Hunter, of course, and Ronnie McDowell. But they have a baby. They have and Fernando.
Fernando Lamas. Oh my God! Ricardo Montalban.
Ricardo Montalban.
Love
that's right.
Him.
He runs the circus and he takes care of Caesar when he is born. And Caesar, that movie. You remember how that movie ends with the baby, the chimpanzee looks at the camera and says, "Mama." Oh, it's so cool.
And then you're going, there's going to be another movie. It's awesome. Anything Ricardo Montalban is in is great, too, because when he was Wrath of Khan in Star Trek, and that was the most intimidating set of pectoral muscles in the universe.
See, everybody said those were fake, but
no,
I think that was him.
Those were his.
Those were him.
He just worked out, pushed him. And he's like 70 years old when he did that movie.
Yeah.
You're like, damn right.
He had hip trouble and everything.
Leather. Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, and Spy Kids, I don't think he could.
Kirk!
Awesome. That's the guy from Fantasy Island.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Ricardo Montalban. Hervé Villechaize was not in the Planet of the Apes movie.
Huh. No, he would have been in the Revenge of the Chimps.
Right, or whatever. He's a tiny little man.
He was a good man.
Tiny.
Hervé.
Tiny little man.
Yeah, I've always liked the apes and Elvis. I don't know what that says about me. I do like over-the-top stuff. I like Frank Sinatra, Elvis. I like people that walk into a room and demand that you adjust to their reality. I think that's entertaining as hell.
Huh.
Because it's just not real. Who does that? Who has their own world? That's why that's hysterical to me. That's why I love Ron Burgundy.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's where we started, I think.
Much like the Planet of the Apes.
Right back around. It is your time. It's the golden time for the bombastic.
It is the time for the bombastic over the top, Lothario.
Over the top guy, I guess.
Humility is out, men.
Humility is out.
Gone is the day of the John Mayer tune.
Yeah, that's a fine line, though, between being like overly...
And fun.
To where a girl will go, okay, he's confident. I like it.
Yeah.
And being a complete fucking douchebag.
That's why it's a dangerous slope that I walk every day of my life.
True religion genes, yes or no?
No.
That's right. That's the right answer.
The right answer is no.
That decoration on their back pockets, what the hell is that?
They should get PTO to sponsor those fucking jeans because every meeting, all those moms have those jeans on. Oh, my God. Yes.
There's one jean. Am I right?
There's one jean? What do you mean?
There's one brand of jeans you should wear. Am I right?
Yeah. Levi's.
Levi's.
Always.
Always.
That was a huge thing when I was young to make the move from tough skins to corduroys.
Right.
To then I had to ask to put on the Levi's, the 501, and which my father thought was way too narcissistic. Why do you need Levi's 501? What's wrong with those? You know, so we had to. I remember the first time I strapped on the button fly. It was confusing. I didn't understand why there was so much going on in my front. But,
Love the button fly.
Oh, love the button fly.
I haven't had a pair of button fly jeans in years.
I have a pair.
Do you really?
I do.
The true mark of a man is how many buttons you have to undo to do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
Real men have to open three buttons.
I bought a pair of, we went to Chicago for fall break one year.
Sure, and, because they wouldn't have those jeans around here.
No, but we went to fall, when we came back, we went shopping, and I was old enough that my dad was like, here, go, you know, and I'll meet you back at the food court. And so I went to a place called Lucky Jeans, and I was like, I'm going to get these jeans. My dad's like, what'd you get? Showed my dad what I got, and I pulled the jeans out, and when you unbutton the jeans, it says, Lucky You. On the inside of the button.
Like, so as you're taking her pants off, you see the phrase,
15 years old, and my dad has me and the jeans, and he's dragging me across this mall in Chicago. You will never wear these fucking jeans. Oh, yeah, it was bad.
That is awesome.
I had no idea, though.
I don't know if he said that word.
Really? It was implied, probably.
Right. How do we find out more about James P. Connelly?
You could ask me.
give your phone number.
I really felt like it that moment. I was like, really, we don't want to talk to you. But if we wanted to ask you questions and you weren't here, what would we do? You could call me.
What should we do?
You could email me. You could find me if you want to. I'm everywhere. You can go to jamespconnelly.tv.
Where are you this weekend?
I am going to be at Morty's Comedy Club. Mm. Yeah.
What do you think of that guy that runs that club?
I'm uncomfortably attracted to him. It's very awkward at times. I don't know what it is. It's his way, his je ne sais quoi, his musk.
Mm-hmm. The French call it, I don't know what.
The French call it inappropriate.
Touching you. And...
Big fan of the club, particularly when I'm there. That's one of my favorite times. Yeah. So, yeah.
We're very lucky here in Indianapolis.
We are.
Great. I swear to God.
Many different clubs.
Who's your feature? Who's your feature?
I don't like to get close to the other comedians. You
know? It's like a war movie. You can't get close to.
If I know the kid, if something happens to him,
and they're gone.
Exactly.
And then you feel bad.
Every week, a different feature. I don't want to know these kids, their lives.
Chris Bowers is here auditing our podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chris, who's the feature this week?
Jacob Williams
from what?
Was on America's Got Talent a couple years ago.
That's right.
Williams.
That guy.
Okay. Yeah, he is he the one with the sand art?
I think so.
She's just glowing like.
Yes, it was sand art.
Does he turn the lights off and it has those neon lights?
It was, you said sand art. It was the look you gave him when you were like genuinely like, is it sand art? Is that? It was everything about it.
Is he kind of a middle-aged, frumpy Scottish woman with a high voice? Is that what he does?
Where are you next week, James?
I'm going to be swinging it at Christmas at home.
At home?
Yeah, rocking the nog.
When will this one come out?
Soon. Before Christmas.
This is going to be coming out.
Before Christmas? Before this Saturday?
So, you know what?
Christmas is a Wednesday.
I know, but we'll be before this Saturday?
I don't know.
Tomorrow's Friday,
I'm going to be at the White Rabbit on Saturday night.
Saturday night for
you can tweet that out.
I don't have a Twitter.
You do.
You need to start another Twitter.
Okay.
Just start another one.
You know where you can catch me? If I could bring this about me again.
Sure.
I'm going to be at the Gilda's Laugh Fest.
Oh, yeah.
In Grand Rapids
in Michigan.
March. Yeah.
That's awesome. Have you been?
No.
Oh, you're going to love
very
it.
Very excited. I'm doing the... It's funny because it's a clean comedy show. It's not TV clean. It's like cleaner than TV, as they're telling me. So it's, I don't think we're allowed to talk.
I hosted a weekend at the Gilda Laugh Fest in Grand Rapids one time, and I have not been asked back.
So. Oh, when I get there, I'm gonna tell them that I'm gonna tell them that I do not bear the stain of Chick McGee.
Well, that might be the way to go. Yeah. And
we got really drunk that time. We were drunk.
That was a great time. We were in a tavern and
ended up eating Lunchables in our underwear later that night.
Yep.
That's just a good night.
Yep.
And, I do like the Lunchables. I got to tell you, you go to the convenience store, the turkey and the cheese and the crab.
That was Grand Rapids.
It was.
So you go turkey, not ham?
I don't swing with the ham. I really, I will go turkey.
I mean, that phrase though, going ham.
You going ham?
Swinging, you know what that
with
means?
The ham?
No, you don't know
ham.
What that means.
Going ham on somebody is.
You go ham on, don't make me go ham on you.
Yeah, hard as a motherfucker.
If I go in and they don't have turkey and all they have is ham, I am generally upset.
Did Rick Ross come up with that? I forget who came up with that.
I don't know.
Somebody like that.
I don't know.
I'll tell you off what I thought it meant.
Oh, I can't wait.
No, before we go, what do you, you have a 3-year-old son.
Yeah.
What a great fun age, Christmas.
You want him? What?
I'll take him.
We're going to barter.
What's Santa
I never
bringing
had
him?
Has
he made his selections known?
Well, he has. I mean, he's kind of big on the action figures of the superheroes, and he's concerned that he has too many good guys and not enough forces of evil. So we're really, really concerned.
That out.
He's not. Yeah, he's really obsessed with more evil in the house. And so it is awkward because we are a crime fighting house right now.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he comes into my room 6 o'clock in the morning, and I was trying to sleep, and he crawls in bed, and I just feel the breath next to my face, and he goes, "Daddy, I'm Batman." And I look up, and he's got the cowl and the mask and the muscle suit, and he goes, "Let's go fight crime." I'm like, "Let's do it." So I get up, and you know, my wife's like, "Why are you up?" I'm like, "'Cause there's crime in our house.
On patrol. We're going
on patrol."
You got to get him the comic book that does his face as the superhero.
See, that would make it even more about him. I'm really concerned about you.
Then make it about you and give it to him.
That would be awesome.
Your face. Yes,
my face?
See, Daddy's a superhero.
Well, he does still. I mean, he kind of has to believe, but he is. He'll be stronger than me by the time he's five. But he's really, so he's got the list of people. And so we do, that's pretty much his upset. He wants a kid's bow and arrow.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that means you get to hunt other children or...
That's my kids got
cup.
Lessons.
Yeah, suction cups. There's an archery range near our house, and so I'm like... So.
Really? That's cool.
Their grandpa got them archery lessons.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. That's a good skill for, like, you know, if you're going to be a survivalist, if my boy...
When our society
out there,
crumbles.
So you coming to get our food, hit him with the arrows, Tom.
Yep.
Yeah. There's
hit
a
him, Parker.
Hunger Games aspect, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the big stuff. We got action figures. We got he's three. I mean, anything that he can jump on or punch or attack.
So you're just gonna wrap yourself up?
Yeah, no, that's every day. I am teaching my son how not to hurt other people.
Oh, yeah.
I have taken abuse for the betterment of mankind. So,
you know, my son's mother and I decided that when he was born, we weren't going to get him a gun or anything like that. It's all very you know very green. He goes out in the backyard as soon as he could go out in the backyard. Picks up a stick, pow, 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 starts making gun sounds. I don't know what it is.
I don't know. We same
How
thing.
Does that
like,
happen?
We try not to. I'm like, no, Daddy doesn't have a gun. I'm like, we talk, but still, he'll just say, yeah, I got this thing, and then this, and this, or it can be a gun, and I can shoot. I'm like, well, what happened? All of a sudden, it's like,
what
you
happened
know,
to my
it's
little
just
boy?
Easier to blame other children and the poor parenting
Always.
Of others. I just, assimilation is usually the downfall of species.
All right, we all taken care of, all buttoned up.
Before we go, Euchre update. Chick did make it to Euchre night.
I did make it to Euchre night last Monday night.
How'd it go?
I was somewhat of a fish out of water.
Why?
Everybody was incredibly normal, talking about Disney trips and
what
things
was
like
your
that.
Take?
No, what I thought was...
I thought I won.
I thought it was good
lot.
For Chick because I don't think he felt like he had to be Chick.
No, I wasn't Chick very much. A couple times I whipped it out, but not very often.
I don't think that's a problem.
So you know my dilemma. Sometimes it's just hard not to go, you know who'd like this moment? James P. Conley.
That's right.
Because Jim Conley's not doing it, but excuse me while I just shift gears.
That's right.
And we went a little bit later than we normally do, and he gets up so early, he kind of petered out.
I got
but
a little
was
tired.
Fine.
About 10:30, quarter to 11. Grandpa gets a little tired.
Yeah.
We're okay.
Yeah. Well, good.
Grandpa, this ain't fun anymore.
This ain't fun anymore. Leave me alone. Well, have a lovely holiday, James.
Well, you know I will now, chick.
Did we not have an Elvis Christmas song somewhere?
I have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue just thinking about you. And I mean you, I mean chick.
Thank you, James.
You got it, baby.
Thank you, Jess.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Jess. Everybody have a Merry Christmas and whatever holiday you're celebrating. Good night, everybody!
Snowflakes in the air.